Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Well, happy Halloween. How about that? A Bears victory. Mr. Adam Johns, he called it.
I think we could call this a trick and a treat tonight. But we'll get into why I thought the Bears could win later. But yeah, what a Halloween treat this was.
Hashtag fly the W, right? That's what's going on these days. Different team, but they actually did have the W. Did you see it hanging down there in the bowels of Soldier Field? There was actually a W flying down there.
Like their own W? Like the Bears put up the W flag, the Cubs W flag. Like someone from the Bears organization, player, coach, whatever, put it up?
No, it was over on the other side, away from the Bears locker room, over by one of the auxiliary locker rooms, not even the one that the Vikings were using. So maybe it's just a worker put it up, most likely. Anyway, but not only was Clark the Cub running around Soldier Field today with the flag, but it was also hanging inside Soldier Field as well. And fitting because the Bears actually managed to pull out a very, very impressive victory over the Minnesota Vikings today. This is Intentional Grounding, episode 61, the Bill George episode, a retired number that we get in there. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns, as always, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. Find it on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And let's dive right into this thing. I mean, I know you picked the Bears to win this game, but I'm sure you didn't think it was going to be this easy. I mean, the Bears flat out dominated the Vikings from start to finish.
Look, I watched a lot of the Eagles win over the Vikings last week. We're coming off the Thursday night game against the Packers, so that was the game on my television for most of the day. And look, the offensive line for Sam Bradford was bad. He was bad. Carson Wentz and the Eagles' offense, they weren't great. They just had to make a few plays, and they were going to take that game, which they did. So I thought maybe with Jay Cutler returning, with Jordan Howard maybe being better, with Alshon Jeffrey having Cutler back, that maybe, even with some moving pieces in the offensive line, that they could make a few plays here or there to keep the Bears in this. And I had no doubt that Pernell McPhee, Leonard Floyd, Willie Young, Akeem Hicks could get after Sam Bradford. I knew that with a certainty. The offensive line for the Vikings is a significant concern for them. I mean, they're very bad. They're poor. Sam Bradford, he's not mobile. He can't escape pressure whatsoever. They're in trouble if they can't figure that out and establish some new type of offensive flow for themselves. So, look, did I think it was going to be this handed the Bears would win this handedly? No, but I thought they would be in this game and Cutler could make a few plays to eke out a victory. But Cutler made more than a few plays. The defense was better than I thought they would be. And here we are talking about the Bears' best game by far in a long time, really.
It really is, and you're right. That Vikings offensive line is – we knew it was bad coming in, but it's really, really bad. And Rick Spielman's got his work cut out for him here before the trade deadline because, I mean, I don't know what he can do. You can't just trade for a whole new offensive line. But they're in trouble because, you know, at least Teddy Bridgewater could run around back there and escape some of that pressure. Sam Bradford's not mobile. And he already kind of mortgaged the future by bringing Sam Bradford in here, going all in on this team. And Rick Spielman's done a great job constructing this Vikings team. But they got to work this thing out here in a hurry if they're going to win the NFC North. And really, they sure as hell aren't winning the Super Bowl with that offensive line we saw tonight.
Look, they lost some starters. Of course, they've lost Adrian Peterson. With all due respect, whoever they're running out there, running back, it's just not the same as AP. Look, this is going to be a huge factor for them going forward. I think the Eagles and now the Bears have found ways to really get after Sam Bradford. And, of course, it starts with talent. They don't have the same talent on the offensive line that they thought they would have at the start of the season because of injuries. When you start going through depth after depth after depth move, you're going to have problems. But you're right. To me, again, I thought the offensive line, the Bears' offensive line, just as opposed to what the Vikings were doing, was quite exceptional, actually. If you consider that Josh Sitton, a Pro Bowler, was out, and you consider that Kyle Long, a Pro Bowler, was out. This was quite outstanding, what they got from Eric Kush and Ted Larson. Yes, they did a lot of things where they moved the pocket and stuff like that, but that pocket still wasn't destroyed by this talented Minnesota Vikings defense. So a lot of positives to take out of this one for the Bears.
Yeah, they won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. And once they scored that second touchdown, I tweeted, if the Bears defensive line keeps winning the line of scrimmage, this game's over. And that kind of proved to be true. They did give up the touchdown late, but Tracy Porter wasn't on the field for that. And, you know, maybe they're getting wear down a little bit. But then the Bears offense comes back with just an absolutely impressive drive to ice this game. They end up punting, but they milked that clock all the way down. The Vikings had nine guys in the box, and they just kept running right at them. There's good blocking from the offensive line. Jordan Howard was making guys miss. And then also, I think you also got to point out on the other side of the football, I mean, the Vikings, they look beat up and done. I mean, I don't want to say they quit, but they were missing tackles. They weren't playing with the same intensity that this defense has been playing. And I'm just talking about late in the game. I mean, I think just early on, we talked about this in our preview episode on Thursday. You know, this is a different offense with Jay Cutler. You have to go back to that, to really that Houston game, to look at any tape on what they could have prepared for tonight, really. And even in that game, we don't really know how healthy Jay was that entire time. But that's really the only tape the Vikings had to kind of prepare themselves for tonight. And I thought the game plan from Dow Loggins was good. I thought the execution was good. And certainly we saw the same things you and I have been talking about for weeks now, about how different this offense is with Jay Cutler.
Well, they were multiple, too, and they got Jay Cutler on the move. And I love how they moved the pocket for him. I love how they got him on the run, because he throws so – he does so well when he's on the move like that. It's just impressive. So there were a few plays that he made, a few throws that he made, where you're like, oh, Brian Hoyer can't do that. The touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. Even the draft that Alshon Jeffrey had in the end zone, Brian Hoyer can't make that throw. And I mean that with all due respect to Brian Hoyer, because Brian Hoyer, look, he's a backup. He played exceptionally well. He was effective. He got the ball out quick. But Jay Cutler just has a different arm. He's a different player. Look at that 34-yard reception that Jordan Howard had. He eluded Harrison Smith, one of the best safeties in the game, bought himself more time by moving up, flipped it to Jordan Howard, who takes off for a 34-yard gain. In that same situation, Brian Hoyer gets sacked. So those three plays, the touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey, the should-have-been touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey, and that play to Jordan Howard, Brian Hoyer can't make those plays. That's why Jay Cutler is your starting quarterback.
No question about it. And before we get into our post-game awards, we got to address the Ian Rappaport report that came out on Sunday, which really painted an interesting picture at Howell's Hall this week. It went as extreme as to hint that a consultant may have been hired to look at the organization top to bottom, which seems pretty extreme. There were some other things that maybe seem a little bit more realistic, like there were some frank conversations this week trying to get the front office and the coaching staff on the same page. That I would certainly understand, considering they're 1-6, and the way that this whole Jay Cutler thing was handled. You and I detailed that, you know, in depth last week in our preview episode. So maybe there were some things like that. Whatever it was, John Fox, I asked him about it after the game. This was his response.
You know, there's a lot of reports. You know, I've dealt with reports for some time now. But, you know, when you're 1-6, that's what you expect. You know, I think that's part of the business. And, you know, this is you know, a tough profession can be, but everybody's compensated well. We all sign up for it. And we get it. But I can tell you there's no truth to that. This is as unified of an organization and a football team as I've ever been associated with. So, you know, there's National Enquirer has a lot of reports, too.
Now, look, we heard him deny the Jay Cutler report in the Tribune the other day, too. He said did not deny a lot of reports lately. We talked about this on Thursday that we don't really think the fans believe things that John Fox says. But in this case, I don't know about you, but I certainly feel pretty strongly that there definitely wasn't a consultant hired by this organization. It's not like they added somebody to the payroll to get this thing, you know, put in the right direction. Now, could there have been some conversations that were had over the phone with some people that you trust that you say, hey, what do you think about what we're doing right now? And somehow that got around? Sure. Who knows? But I don't think a consultant was hired.
Well, if they're calling around the people that they trust, and those people that they trust are leaking information to someone, maybe they shouldn't trust them. Look, I know Ian. I've had dinner with Ian. I think he does a bang-up job for NFL Network. And look, maybe there's some truth to some of this. You know, where there's smoke, there's usually a little bit of fire. That's how these things work. I remember when the Phil Emery regime here, there were certain reports that started something and became something bigger by the end of it, right? And the Ian Rappaport was in the middle of all that, you know, with the whole Aaron Cromer situation. So, look, this is all I'm going to say. If they're going to bring in an outside consultant, that undermines what Ryan Pace is doing and John Fox is doing, and it sends an awful message to your locker room and anyone else in the world of football who wants to work for the Bears, right? There's only two people who can make that call, too, George McCaskey and Ted Phillips. And if they were to do it, I'm sure they would do it in the utmost secrecy. So, look, reports happen. It's the NFL. This is, you know, people love the drama sometimes, and there is some going on at Halas Hall. When you're 2-6, no one is happy. They should have a better record, or they believe they should have a better record right now. But, you know, if you're going to bring in someone to consult you on what you're doing with your football operation, that sends an awful message throughout your organization, and it's really setting yourself up to rebuild again. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I think you put it very well. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's probably some truth to some of the things that were in this lengthy report that, if I remember right, was actually video on the pregame show that got turned into a written report by NFL media, and maybe got blown a little bit too far out of proportion. So again, was a consultant hired? Most likely not. Were there some conversations behind the scenes? Maybe. Were there conversations during a 10-day layoff that they had in between games to try to get everyone on the same page? Probably. That makes a lot of sense when you're 1-6. And did it have to do with Jay Cutler and the way that was all handled? Maybe. We don't really know. But that gives us a perfect segue to the fact that, as you and I discussed on Thursday in our preview episode for this game, and I wrote about this Friday too, I don't think that John Fox really put Jay Cutler in a fair position with the way he didn't support Jay when he was hurt as the team starter. And that put Jay in a tough spot. But here's the good news. Based on what we saw today in this game and what we heard from his teammates a little bit this week leading up to the game, but really afterwards, and the fact that we heard from players tonight and Jay talked about it, Jay gave a speech to this team, an inspirational speech before this game. It's obvious that the players understand who the best quarterback is for this team, and they rallied behind him tonight. And as John Fox even put it, he felt like that was a reason why they won this game.
He gave an inspirational speech about inspiration, which is, you know, even he kind of laughed about it. And he hates when he becomes the center of attention and, you know, to have questions about, you know, what he's telling his teammates. I'm sure he just despises the whole scenario. But he did it, and it's true. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, again today, called him a great teammate. That whole narrative that everybody outside of Chicago really has anymore, it's old, it's just not true. He means something to these players. This is a team, look, I get what fans want. They want the highest draft pick that they're giving up on this season, but there's still 8 games left. There's a lot of proud players in that locker room. Parnell McPhee, Tracy Porter, Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman. I mean, these aren't young guys. These aren't young guys trying to develop. These are guys who have been established football players in this league. And they want to win now. They want to win, you know, when they go to Tampa. They want to win when they go to New York. Where else are we going? I mean, they want to win football games this year, and they know Jay Cutler gives them their best chance to do that. So they're all behind this guy, and Jay Cutler delivered for them tonight on primetime television against the league's best defense.
He did. He did, and that's a good segue.
Player of the game.
Look, I know Jordan Howard had 26 carries and 153 yards. It's a very good average, 5.9 yards per carry, great 69-yard run, and a touchdown. The stats show that he had a great game. But this is the Jay Cutler. This is one of the Jay Cutler games when you look back at his time here in Chicago. And, you know, 20 for 31. 252. These numbers aren't even as good as what Brian Hoyer was putting up, although he did have a 100.5 quarterback rating. The point here, though, the offense looked different. It had some verticality to it. It spread out the field, more field for the Vikings to cover. And Jay made some mistakes early. He looked rusty early. He didn't look like he was on the same page. He looked like a guy who hadn't been practicing with his team a whole lot, which we know was the case until after he finally got cleared. To me, he was the runaway player of the game.
And here's the thing. He had, and I agree with you, he gets the game ball. John Fox gave him the game ball for a reason. I don't know how we could, considering all the circumstances leading up to this game, he was exceptional. He deserves that game ball, as John Fox gave him, and we're giving him here, which is probably a little bit more important, I think. But anyway, what was I getting at as we get around here? The way... Did you see how he responded to the Jordan Howard touchdown and the way that he responded after his Alshon Jeffrey touchdown pass? Jordan Howard scores. He starts walking off the field. He comes back to them. He makes sure to go up to all of his offensive linemen. He makes sure to bump fists with Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard is like running away. Jay Cutler had to jog up to catch him a little bit. He wanted to be there for him. And when he threw that strike to Cutler, he was fist pumping. Or when Cutler threw that strike to Jeffrey, he was fist pumping. It's the most animated I've seen him after a score in a long time. So a lot of things were obviously on his mind in this game, and he played great.
Yeah, he really did. And you know what? We mentioned the inspirational speech about inspiration. And I think because it's been so long since Jay played, it's probably a good idea for us to bring you Jay Cutler and make sure you get to listen to what he said after this game. So here's Jay Cutler after the Bears' 20-10 victory over the Minnesota Vikings.
How do you put this performance in the proper frame of what you guys did?
It starts with the game plan. Dal, rest of the offensive staff. When I first saw it, we really liked it. As we kind of progressed through the week, we liked it even more. Those guys did a heck of a job putting together because that's a heck of a team. It's a heck of a defense. Offensive line, played the tails off. Sid out, Kyle out, and Kush and Teddy stepping in there. Played great. Guys made plays all over the field. Jordan ran the ball extremely hard. Had great vision. Defense holding the 3 points. Until about five minutes ago or whatever it was, it was fun to be a part of.
Yeah, game plan. What were the biggest points of emphasis that you liked within it?
I think we were just throwing a lot of stuff at them. The keeper game. We had some hurry up. We were spreading them out. We were protecting the pocket. They're very multiple, especially on third down. They're going to throw a lot of stuff at you. And guys made some plays for me, too. You know, Al up the sideline, Jordan on the pitch. Guys were making plays last night.
Mechanically, how did you feel with the thumb throwing?
I felt fine. Didn't feel it.
How personally gratifying for you is it to come off the layoff and be able to come in and play?
It was more fun just to watch my teammates and see how hard they played and how well they played. With one win coming into this one, a lot of outside noise. I mean, that's kind of how it goes if you're losing games. But the locker room in there has got a bunch of really talented football players and a really really great high character guys, and I think that showed throughout the week and tonight.
In the third down pass in the third quarter, Alshon down the right sideline. How important was that just to get you guys going?
Yeah, I mean, I told him, I said, I'm going to keep coming to you. You know, we're going to pop one. We're going to keep coming to you. We wanted to get him vertical at some point in the game. We tried a few times in the first half and didn't have any luck with it. And we were a little off kilter down in the red zone, too. So to get him going, I mean, it's huge. I mean, he's such a big part of this offense.
What did you see in the touchdown pass to him, obviously, here?
Yeah, unbelievably well-designed play. I think we were I forget where we were. We practiced that play a little bit tighter, but you know, down those guys drew up a really good one. We just kind of buried the fake in there, and Tutu came flying down, and Al ran a great slant right behind him. So, well executed and well diagram play.
You take note of that Rhodes isn't in there at that point. He had just come out, I think.
Yeah, we knew it. And you know, we wanted to try to take advantage of that. They saw it up in the box, and dialed up a good one.
Alshon said on the broadcast that you gave a pretty inspirational speech. What was the message?
It was about inspiration, actually. And you know, everyone in there is from different backgrounds and different cultures and societies and family life and schools and you know, whatever it takes to find that inspiration, because motivation usually wears off at some point during the game. And those guys played inspired football, so it was fun to be a part of.
Where do you draw yours from?
Very personal. You know, it's a great question. A lot of different things. You know, my teammates, my family, my children, my wife. You know, it's 11 years of this, and you know, to be a part of a locker room like that and a game like that is always fun.
What was it like to get the game ball?
You know, that was cool. To be with my teammates and know what they put into this game and to see the smiles on their face and how important it was to them. You know, that's what you play for. That's why this game's so much fun when you win.
Based on what we're hearing from your teammates and what John just told us too, it seems like your teammates really rallied around you specifically for this game. I mean, how much did you feel that support?
I think you saw it. I mean, it was evident out there. Those guys, from the first snap to the last snap, they didn't give up. They played mistake-free football, focused football, and we executed on all three phases throughout the game. So, you know, can't say enough about them. You know, after the game, I felt like I really didn't play that much. Didn't really get hit a lot. Made a few throws. Watched Jordan run around like crazy. Offensive line, you know, they fought tooth and nail. So those games, it makes it fun.
What's your best throw when you hit Alshon in the helmet?
That was accuracy. That's one of those things where you're trying to get him vertical, trying to take a shot. I when it hit him in the helmet, I was like, gosh, this is going to get picked. You know, we're going to get a bad bounce here. But, you know, we had a few of those tonight, and they fell. Luckily, they all fell to the ground. So sometimes you got to get some lucky bounces.
It's your first time being out there really with Jordan at all. What does it look like from the backfield?
You know, I was with him, you know, that first one, and then through training camp or something, you could see how much he's grown. He's like a 4 or 5 year vet back there. Doesn't get phased. I think he's got great vision. I think that's kind of came along these last 6 or 7 games. You can see him more comfortable back there. And he's one of those backs as the game goes on. He gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, that last third down, I had to tell him, hey, don't try to break a tackle. I mean, let's just go down. Let's just kick this thing and get out of here. Because he was running hard. To the last whistle.
What's the confidence boost you get knowing what that defense can do when you give them the lead?
We've known that. I think Vic's like that. I mean, he's going to put together a heck of a plan. He does every week. Just as players, we just got to go out and execute it. He knows strength and weaknesses in defense. He's been doing this a heck of a long time. So not surprising to see those guys. You know, we're getting some guys, getting feedback. Hopefully TP gets healthy and start getting some guys back into this, and hopefully we can put together a few wins.
That last drive, they had 9 guys in the box.
Yeah. That's
a really good defense. What was the message in that huddle?
Just keep doing what you're doing. Told the guys you've played unbelievable. You know, 3 3/4 quarters. Let's just go ahead and finish this off. Don't do anything different. Just keep doing exactly what they're doing. And I told them that kind of all game, and that's what they did. They executed. They were fired up throughout the game, but they were extremely focused. I mean, you could just see it in their eyes. They wanted to win this one.
So there he is, Jay Cutler. You can kind of get that, the subtle hinting in there that he doesn't really like being the center of attention when a game is really all about him. But in this case, I think it was tonight. And let's talk about this. I mean, what do you think this win means for the rest of the season? Because this looked like a completely different team tonight. I don't want to get carried away with it, but you get a bye week. You have some winnable games in the second half. And Pernell McPhee, actually, this is real quick. Here's what Pernell McPhee had to say after the game about what he hopes this win does for the team.
I hope it pisses everybody off. That's what I hope. I hope it pisses everybody off and know we could dominate the league if we really put our mind to it. We just played a great team and we dominate them. So it got to piss everybody off and say we shouldn't lose no more games to teams that we ain't got no business losing to.
So there you hear it. He said he wants it to piss them off. He hopes his win pisses them off because it kind of showed that they let a lot of games slip away here in the first half of the season. And his whole point there, what you heard from Pernell McPhee, was make this realize that you're a better team than what you showed in the first half of the season. 2-6 wasn't good enough. And if they believe that, and they really carry that in the second half, where we look at the schedule and we go, there are some winnable games here. Obviously, I'm not talking about them making a miraculous run of the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty much out of the picture, I think. But just in terms of looking better and reversing this narrative that kind of emerged even the last few days, that we talking about head coaching change? Are we talking about something bigger? I mean, I kind of got the feeling based on what I saw here tonight, this was an emphatic rejection to anything big like that happening.
Well, you want to use the old cliche turning point, but we have to see what they do against, where do we go first? Tampa? And then I think we go to New York. Right, so we'll see what they come up with. I mean, those are two very beatable teams, and I think they know it. This was the toughest one of those three, if you want to just put those in that allotment. Look, I don't know what it means. I don't know what the biggest concern is. I think the injuries have been a significant factor. You got to get Kyle Long right. You got to get Josh Sitton right. You got to get Bryce Callahan right, because with all due respect to Devontae Bosby, is that how we're saying it? Now, or Cravon LeBlanc, Bryce Callahan, yeah, at this point in the stage of all their development, is the better playmaker. He's the better cornerback to have opposite Tracy Porter. Tracy Porter, that's another player that has to get right. So Eddie Royal, got to get that toe healthy. So, yes, the injuries are still a concern. They're still mounting on the Bears, but you got your quarterback back. You got your vocal, outspoken leader on the defense back. There's things to feel positive about. Now, you say that knowing they are 2-6 teams, so you try to keep all of your positivity grounded a bit because it's a long road ahead and still some ugliness could be coming for the Bears. But, yes, they head into a bye week. They were given the off. They're given the whole week off now from John Fox. They have every right to feel, at least for this moment, this night, maybe the next few days, to feel positive about their situation.
All right, let's wrap it up with this.
Biggest answer.
Well, the biggest obvious answer is this offense is completely different with Jay Cutler, but not to be too redundant, I'm going to go back to one of your guys, and that's Leonard Floyd. And you brought this up in our preview episode. Can he build on what he did in Green Bay? I thought he did tonight. He got another sack, but he was very disruptive throughout the game. And yes, you can point to this bad Minnesota Vikings offensive line, but that's where you, as a good pass rusher in this league, you know, the Von Millers are going to look at a matchup like this and just dominate. He's not to that point yet, obviously, but to see the advantages that this defensive line, this pass rush had tonight, and to get Leonard Floyd to be as disruptive as he was. He set up other sacks. There was one play where he won on the edge, and that forced Bradford to step up in the pocket and run right into Akeem Hicks, who won his matchup. He was a key player tonight. Very, very positive development for Leonard Floyd, who was off 2 weeks, got 2 weeks to kind of heal up from all the injuries that he's been dealing with, and he's come back, and he looks like a real player.
By the end of the game, or the fourth quarter, I should say, they were double-teaming him. So, yes, he's still raw in some certain areas of his game. His hand work still needs to be fine-tuned. He needs better power moves, but his speed is a force. He's becoming more confident out there. They're using him in different ways with stunts and inside and out. This was the first time that Pernell McPhee and Leonard Floyd were on the field together. They played in the same game, but they weren't on the same field at the same time in Green Bay. This is the first time that Vic Fangio had Floyd and Purnell McPhee together for certain snaps. And they were a force. Power and speed. That's what they wanted. Now they have them both on the field. Very positive for the Bears right now.
Absolutely. And I think that's a very, very good development going into the bye week is to get Leonard Floyd playing at that level.
Forgot my biggest answer. I think the Vikings might be overrated. Very good defense. There's some holes out there in that defense. Very good. Their offense is going to be a problem for them. They have to find some type of identity. I don't know what it could be. You know, Sam Bradford, I think, has been better than expected in making in really filling in for Teddy Bridgewater, you know, on short notice coming there without a preseason and all that. But look, they were bad tonight. They were real bad tonight. I mean, Mike Zimmer should be very concerned about his football team right now. Yes, his defense is going to be fine. They're going to keep them in games. But if you have a playmaking quarterback like Jay Cutler, and if you have a young emerging running back like Jordan Howard, and you find a good game plan like Dow Loggins has, look, they're a beatable football team. The Bears had their answer for everything they threw at Jay Cutler tonight.
They did. It's a fair point, and they're flawed, and they need to figure it out. But still think the Vikings are pretty good overall. We'll see how they address this situation in the next few weeks. But, yeah, they definitely got some problems. Well, off to a bye week for us. I don't really know what our plans are. We'll probably take a week off. And then last year we came back with, because there's not much to react to after a bye week, we did an NFL draft special. So maybe we'll do that next week. As we kind of figure this all out right here as we record. But that's probably our plan. We'll take some time off. The Bears, as Adam mentioned a few minutes ago, they originally were scheduled to have a practice this week on Wednesday before getting the weekend off. John Fox, after the win, said, no, you guys are good. Take the rest of the week off. Enjoy it. So they are off until Monday. And you know what? This team needs to get right mentally and physically, too. There's still plenty of injuries to get over. So I like that move by John Fox.
I need to get right mentally. Yeah. I got a few injuries I need to get over. It's been a grind, man.
Yeah. Plus, there's a World Series parade on Friday.
No comment. We're not going to get out of ourselves. One game at a time, Adam. One game at a time.
That's right. All right. Well, this was episode 61 of Intentional Grounding. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, for all of our post-game coverage there in Nuggets from the locker room. Also follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. Read our reaction at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Please rate it. Please review it if you enjoy the pod. We appreciate you doing that. Enjoy the bye week. At least the Bears got a nice victory. I know I'm looking forward to actually watching some tape tomorrow of some good Bears football for once, because it's been a long time. You mentioned this earlier. It's been a long time since they played a game this well from start to finish.
Well, at least on both sides of the ball, you know. Either way, they have a lot to feel good about heading into their bye week, and that's all they could ask for right now.
Absolutely. All right, well, enjoy the bye week. We'll be back next week with an NFL draft special, as we kind of take a look at some prospects halfway through this NFL season. We'll talk to you then.